when I became the pastor of the Pasadena Church, it was my wife and I were having a lot of marital problems. She didn't want me to become the pastor of the church because she was a pastor's kid, and she didn't want that for her or for the kids. You know, and I don't think I wanted that either. And I went to service not thinking that they were going to ask me to be the pastor of the church. So when I got there, the district rep was there. And he said that someone had sent a letter requesting for me to be the pastor of the church. And I had to say, you know, I need some time to pray and make that decision. We went home, talked it over with my wife, and my wife said, well, I don't want you to be the pastor of the church. If you accept that position, then that means that we have to get divorced. And now it's like, but this is not what I want. This is what God wants me to do. And I said, I'm going to have to say yes. And I went back and I called the rep and I told him, I have to explain the situation. And my wife doesn't want me to be a pastor. But God wants me to be a pastor. So I'm accepting that position, even though my wife is totally against it. And he said, okay, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yes, ma'am. So I took the role as a pastor. That was back in 96. And my wife and I started having more problems. We would argue every time we would sit at the table. I remember I was invited one time to go to a men's retreat. And I told my wife, you know, there's a men's retreat and it's a whole week, so I'm going to be gone for a week. And she said, okay, that's fine. So I left. Even though I had been pastoring the church for already some time, and I had been baptized since 1989, I didn't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I knew how to do everything about what church was all about. I knew how to come to church. I knew how to pray. I knew how to read the Bible. I knew how to do everything that is done at church. But I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And then at the retreat, someone came up to me and said, do you know Jesus Christ? And I said, yes, I know Jesus Christ. I've been baptized since 89. I've been pastoring a church, so I know Jesus Christ. And they asked me again, but do you really know Jesus? And I didn't answer that. I stayed quiet. And I prayed overnight. And I came to the realization that I didn't know Jesus Christ. I knew of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And they made an altar call at the end of the men's retreat. And I came to the altar and I cried. And I told the Lord what the situation in my marriage was. And that day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I went home. And I was so happy. I was so excited. I got home and I went inside the house and my wife was there. And I told her, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And she looked at me and she said, "What are you talking about? You've been baptized since 1989. How is it that you had received Jesus Christ now that you went to the men's retreat?" I said, "I didn't know him personally, but now I do. And I want you to know him too." And she said, "Don't talk to me about it. Don't tell me anything about this." It went for a whole year that we would argue all the time, back and forth. I remember the last time we argued, we were eating dinner. It was a nice piece of steak. And we argued so much. And I cried because I didn't want that for my marriage. I remember that I couldn't eat my dinner anymore because the plate was overflowing with tears. And at the end of that year, we had to sit down and talk about it because we couldn't take it no more. And she said, "We need to get divorced. That's the best thing that could happen to us. We need to sign the papers." And I didn't want the divorce, but I had to agree with her. And I told her, "Okay, if that's what you want, we'll get divorced." So we went and we got all the papers. They were all ready to be signed. And there was another retreat for pastors and their wives in Glorieta, New Mexico. And I told her, "Look, there is a retreat for pastors and their wives. Would you like to go?" And she said, "Why am I going to go there? We're about to get divorced, and you want me to go to a retreat with you?" And I said, "I would like to come. I would like for you to come." And she said, "Why do you want me to go?" And I said, "I just want you to go just to help me drive. That's all I want." And this is probably the last time we're going to drive together. And she said, "You're not going to force me to go through the meetings. You're not going to force me to go to the worship service at night." I said, "No, you can stay in the room. You can have the car to drive around." And she was, "Okay, well, I'll go." So we drove to Glorieta. We didn't talk the whole way. We got there, and then the following day after we got there, I was ready to go down, and I asked her, "Are you coming down?" And she goes, "I told you that I wasn't going to go to the services." I said, "I don't want you to go to the services. I just want you to go and eat, because we have to go eat." And she said, "Okay, I'll go." So she went down. While we were down there, there were a lot of people who knew her, so she started talking to them. And she came up to the room again, and I was ready to leave to go to service. And I saw her getting ready. And then she goes, "Hold on, wait for me." And I said, "You said you were not going to go, and I don't want to force you to go." She said, "No, I want to go." So she came with me. At the end of the retreat, they divided the pastors on one side and the ladies on the other side. And I don't know what happened in there. But when we got back to the room, she was crying. And I said, "What happened? Are you okay?" And she said, "I'm okay." And she said, "Now I know what you were talking about about a year ago. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We went home and we were so excited. And she said, I know the first thing I need to do when I get home. I'm going to call my dad. And I'm going to tell him that I forgive him for all the things that he did. And she did exactly that. She went home. She called her dad. He said he didn't want to know anything about her. He didn't need her forgiveness. 3 months after that, we went to the doctors. My wife, she couldn't have kids according to the doctor. And she would never have kids. It didn't matter what she did, she would never have kids. So we went back to the doctor because she said she wasn't feeling well. And the doctor said, there is a possibility that you might be pregnant. And my wife said, well, not according to you. And so they did the test, and she was 3 months pregnant. And now we have 3 kids. Some miscarriages, and that's why there's age difference between the kids. The oldest being 14, then the next one being 6, and the boy, Micah, only 16 months. And God has been good. We never talked about divorcing again. We never talked about the papers being signed. We never went back to see the guy who was going to help us fill out all the papers, or he had them already filled out. And it's been 19 years, and the Lord continues to be good to us. So that's a little bit of my testimony of how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this morning we're going to talk about a call to a life of faith. There was a preacher that he came to the church, and he brought 3 containers, 3 small containers, like glass containers. And he put different kind of soil inside the containers. And he put a worm in each container. In one of the containers, he put a cigarette. In another container, he put alcohol. And in the last container, he put a little bit of water, fertilizer, and then he set the containers, and he started to talk to the congregation. And he was talking about what God can do in your life. At the end of his sermon, he had the 3 containers, and he brought the 3 containers, and he showed them to the congregation and said, what do you think about the 3 containers? Look at the first container where I put the worm with the cigarette. And the worm was dead. And then he goes, look at the second container where I put alcohol. He brought out the little worm, and the worm was dead. The third container where he had put water, fertilizer, he brought out the worm, and the worm was happy, right? Look at the little worm. He's really happy. He likes it here. And he asked, what do you think about the containers? What do you think the message is? And someone in the back stood up and said, I know what the message is. And he said, yes, go ahead, tell me what it is. And he said, well, I think the message is that if you smoke and you drink alcohol, you will not develop worms. That was not the message, but but that's what they got out of the message he did. So hopefully that will not be the case today. I thought if we're going to talk about faith, we're going to talk about the father of the faith, the friend, God's friend, Abraham. If you would open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 through verse 4. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families on the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What was Abraham's calling like? And how fast did Abraham respond to that calling? I always thought that Abraham received the calling today, and he left tomorrow. But as I read the Bible, I noticed that it took some time for Abram to respond. He was willing to respond to the calling that God had made to him. Sometimes we think that the calling of God has to have some special ring to our ears, or he has to use special words for us to be called. I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he's not a Christian. He has not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I remember talking to him and telling him, God is calling you to surrender your life, to give your life to him. And he said, I haven't heard him. And I go, what are you waiting for? What would you like to hear? And his response was, I would like for heaven to split open and for God to call my name and say, George. It's time for you to surrender your life. Sometimes we think that God will call us that way. But the way God called Abraham wasn't that way. Really, there's not much detail on how it was. But there were three things that God told Abraham to do. And those three things where get out of your country, get out of your family, and get out of your father's house. Those were the three things God told Abraham. And he was going to take him to a land. A lot of people think that God promised Abraham that the land was going to be his. But when God first called Abraham, God didn't tell Abraham that that was going to be his land. When God called Abraham, God told him that he was going to show him the land. It's a big difference if God would have said, I'll take you to a land that will be yours. If we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, at the end of the verse, it says, to the land which I will show you. It doesn't say to a land which I will give to you. And we would all have to agree that we wouldn't go anywhere if someone were to tell us that they're going to take us to a place just to show us how the place looks. I'll show you how great of a job I have. Let me show you what I have. Let me show you what great of a house I have. Let me show you everything that I have. And then he will say, now move. Come to this place. Would you move? If they're just showing you, they're not promising you anything. And God was not promising Abraham that the land where he was going to be his. So what does it imply when God says that he needed to get out of his country? Why did Abraham need to get out of his country? Why couldn't Abraham stay in Ur of the Chaldeans and serve God there? Why couldn't? Why did Abraham need to go to the other side of the river? He needed to be out of his country. What was his country like? What did they do there? He needed to leave his comfort zone where he felt good. He needed to leave the place where he was so familiar with. And he needed to go to a land that he didn't know. And that God had only promised to show it to him. Did Abraham obey? Did Abraham did what God wanted him to do? Or did Abraham waited for more details? Come on, give me more details. What do I need to do? How do I need to get there? What else are you going to do with me once I get there? God wanted Abraham to be out of the comfort zone, out of the country where, of everything he knew, but one of the things that were big in the land where Abraham was idolatry. And then it says that he had to get out of your family. Again, why did Abraham have to leave his family behind? Because if that land was a land of idolatry, then his family was practicing what they did in that land. And then you need to get out of your father's house. For the same reason, if the land was a land of idolatry and his family were practicing idolatry, what do you think his father was doing too? Joshua, actually, in his last speech to the people, he says that they came from the other side of the land where your ancestors practiced idolatry. And that was the reason why Abraham needed to get out of the land of his relatives and his father's house. And he needed to go to that land that God was going to show to him. And it's really difficult to leave and to get out of our comfort zone. It's hard to leave everything behind and to walk to a place where we, to a land that we don't know, live among people that we don't know, and we might not even speak their languages. And to leave even your mom and dad, in this case, his dad, behind. It's hard. It's very difficult. Now, my question is, did Abraham obey God to the full extent of his calling? He received it today. He left tomorrow. He left his land. He left his relatives. And he left his father behind. Is that exactly what Abraham did? He didn't do that. It seems like Abraham started to take small steps. He did understand the calling of God. And he wanted to do that. But there was something holding him behind. And it happens to all of us. When God calls us, when God comes and says that we need to surrender our life, that we need to open up our hearts and receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, there are things in our lives that hold us back and we don't want to do it. And you know what that delay was for Abraham? For him to completely leave the land and to go to the land that God had promised to show him. The name of his delay was Tara. And who was Tara? Tara was Abraham's father. And if you were to look the name Tara on what the meaning of Tara is actually that. The meaning of the name Tara is delay. And we all have Tara in our lives. There is always something or someone that is holding us back from coming before God and giving our lives to Jesus Christ. And if we were to look inside, we would all find out Tara in our lives. What's holding you back from surrendering your life to Jesus? And to have a life of faith. Abraham did not receive his calling in Haran. He received his calling when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. That was about 700 miles away from Haran. If we read in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, 3 and 4, says, "And he said, Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. And said to him, Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to his country in which you are now living." When did Abraham receive the calling? In Haran? He received his calling when he was still in Ur of the Chaldeans. And he traveled about 700 miles to get to Haran, but he was taking with him his father. And they settled there in Haran, and he waited until his father died. And then God spoke to Abraham again and reminded him of his calling and said, "You need to leave your land, your family, and your father's house. You need to go to the land that I will show you." And it says that God moved Abraham to the land God move Abraham? Where does faith start? Where does it start? Does it start with you? Or does it start with God? God moved Abraham. How far was the land that God was going to show Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans? Some maps say that it is about 1,200 miles away. That is a long way. That is a long, long way. And Abraham went 700 miles to get to Haran, and Haran was borderline with the land that it was going to show him, or it was closer to. But he stopped right there because there was something holding him back. There was someone holding him back in this case. There was a delay. There was a great promise to Abraham when God called him. What was the promise that God made to Abraham when he called him? That he was going to show him the land? But then there were more. And this is what God had promised to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. And the last promise was, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did God fulfill all those promises? He sure did. All of them. Every single one of them. And I tell you this morning that God wants to do the same with each and every one of us. He wants to bless each and every one of us. Maybe we will not become a great nation like Abraham did. But God wants to make a great family for each and every one of us. He wants to bless each and every one of us. Have you ever asked yourself sometimes, and I have heard this so many times, how come I'm not being blessed? And sometimes we look around and see other people and say, how come so and so is being blessed? But I'm not being blessed. I'll tell you this morning that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And he told Abraham, I will make your name great. And God made Abraham's name great. God made Abraham's name great. And I think for a lot of people, being famous is something that they want. My daughter tells me that all the time. Dad, I'm going to be famous one day. And you're not going to have to worry about anything because I'm going to be famous. And I tell her, you don't know what you're asking. But don't you want your name to be great? I want my name to be great. But I don't want my name to be great just to boast. I want my name to be great for the glory of God. I want the day of tomorrow when my kids hear my name for them to say, yeah, that's my dad. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. And he was willing to face any challenge that came his way because he loved the Lord. Don't you want your name to be great? For your kids to remember you that way? We always think about what legacy are we leaving behind for our family, for our kids. That's part of having a great name. And probably when I'm saying this, probably you're thinking about people that you know and say, wow, remember so-and-so? He was so great. I mean, that person did anything for the love that he had for Jesus Christ. And God told Abraham that he was going to be a blessing to other people. If God blesses you, then you bless other people. Was Abraham a blessing to other people? Yes, he was. He was a blessing. And I want to be a blessing to other people. And God wants you to be a blessing to others. God wants you to bless other people by sharing your faith, by sharing what God has done in your life. And what God can do in their lives. If God has done this for me, he can do it for you. Be a blessing to other people. And I'll bless those who bless you. That's what the promise says. And that's exactly what God does. When someone blesses you, God blesses them. And then the other part is, if someone curses you, God, the promise is like that for Abraham, and it is for us too. God will curse those who curse you. But that part we try to forget about it. And those who curse me, I won't wait for God to curse them, right? I will curse them. I will take care of them. Because God is going to take too long to do it. And I'll do it right now. Leave it up to God. Someone blesses you, God will bless them. But if someone does harm to you, God will take care of that. And that's the way it should be. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Were all the families of the earth blessed through Abraham? Are all the families of the earth are still being blessed through Abraham? And I'll tell you that we are still blessed through Abraham. Through Abraham came Jesus Christ. And we are all blessed to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So now, I challenge you guys to look into your lives and to find what's holding you guys back. If you have not surrendered your life completely to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what's holding you back? What is the delay in your life? Sometimes we want to know too many details. Abraham didn't ask questions. Abraham didn't want all the details. All what God said to Abraham is, get out of your country. Get out of your family. Get out of your father's house. And Abraham did. Living a life of faith is not knowing exactly what the future holds. Living a life of faith is not knowing exactly what the future holds for us. But it's knowing who holds the future. So, I invite you to surrender your life to Jesus. Don't worry about the details. He will take care of them. God bless you.